Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, we're all children of God, aren't we? Jesus is our brother. You know, Sherman's going to bring us now the message of we're all related to God.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Just a brief prayer. O Father, give us a vision of your benevolence and love toward us. Open our minds and our hearts to your truth and your peace, which the world does not have to give. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us now. May we be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. What higher thing would anybody want than to be loved by a God who is all-powerful, who has plans for us that are absolutely good and desirable? Sounds like heaven, doesn't it? This God whom we serve put his stamp upon us when he created us. He did this when he created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. When God made man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And even to this day, God sustains us constantly. In Colossians, he says, by him all things consist. We have royal blood in us. We are special because of what God has invested in us, and he loves us and cares for us. But before we feel too proud of the things that we do, we need remember that our works do not recommend us to him. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Everything good comes from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'd like to talk about our relationship to God. We are very special to him. We are his children, the apple of his eye, even as Christ is our brother. But since the fall of our parents at the Garden of Eden, things have not been the same. Almost immediately, Adam and Eve felt the need to hide themselves from their Creator. This was an early indication of the human condition that we still endure today. God loves us still, supremely so, even though we cause him untold grief, and he pities us for the tragedies that we bring on ourselves. In the covenant relationship, where God said, in effect, I am your scoutmaster. I know this territory, and it is very treacherous. You cannot see through all the darkness. It is filled with untold dangers, but I have been there. And I can save you from all the pitfalls, and then I will take you all home with me. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. We need to remember that he is the creator. We are the created. This should cause us to be humbled. And that's not even to mention that we're made from dirt. But thank God for the marvelous truth that he condescended to come to this place to bring life to what would be otherwise dead material. There's a natural and healthy order to things. You try to keep your house in order. The growth of plants is usually predictable. Cars should travel on their side of the road. And we were created to obey God. But we know how badly things have gone in this area. So the way things are in the world these days, we have to be very careful not to put men on a pedestal. Finite men have a tendency to be proud and puffed up. We need to remember that there is really a God who motivates us to do good things. So therefore, the Bible has little to say in praise of men. Little is mentioned about the virtues of even the best of men who have ever lived. All the qualities that men possess are the gift of God. their good deeds are performed through Christ. Since we owe all to God, the glory of whatever we do or possess belongs to Him alone. We are but instruments. And throughout the Bible, it is seen what a dangerous thing it is to exalt or praise men. For as we lose sight of our entire dependence on God, we're sure to fall. Our relationship to God is one of loving subservience. When we choose our own way, our own will, our own pleasure, our own impulses, we're not living as sons and daughters of God. No selfishness is of Christ. Selfishness lies at the foundation of all sin. The Savior says, "He that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I think our pastor said as much, that the struggle that many of us have is because we are not totally consecrated to Christ. Self. It is the love of self that destroys our peace. While self is alive, we stand ready continually to guard it from mortification and insult. But when self is dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, we shall not be offended. We shall be deaf to reproach, blind to scorn and insult. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not its own. It is not provoked. But it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Don't you like to be around somebody like that, who accepts you as you are and is always there for you? Now, doesn't that sound like freedom, when you can go through life and just have this outward benevolence toward everybody, even if they burn you? With that kind of outlook in life, we can pray for those who try to offend us. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. Every man's experience testifies to the truth of the words of Scripture. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Sin has destroyed our peace. While self is not subdued, we find no rest. The passions of the heart no human power can control. We're as helpless as were the disciples to quiet the raging storm. But He who spoke peace to the billows of Galilee has spoken the word of peace for every soul. However fierce the tempest, those who turn to Christ with the cry, "Lord, save us," that is, "Lord, save us from ourselves," will find deliverance. His grace, which reconciles the soul to God, quiets the strife of human passion, and in His love, the heart is at rest. When we receive Christ into the soul, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds. There is no other ground for peace than this. The grace of Christ received into the heart subdues enmity. It stops fighting and fills the soul with love. He who is at peace with God and his fellow men cannot be made miserable. Envy will not be in his heart. Evil surmisings will find no room there. Hatred cannot exist. The heart that is in harmony with God is a partaker of the peace of heaven. Even Christ, with all the conflict that he had, he was at peace. The Spirit of peace will rest like dew upon the hearts weary and troubled with worldly strife. Sometimes we need to correct our kids. And of course, we did it for their good, and you'd hope that they'd straighten up. Well, repentant sinners have no cause to despair, because they are being reminded of their transgressions and warned of their danger. Who wants to go down the wrong path and not be told? Not in the end. God's efforts on our behalf shows how much he loves us and desires to save us. They have only to follow his counsel and do his will to inherit eternal life. Nature and revelation alike tell of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life and wisdom and joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness of men and living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, everything speaks of the Creator's love. God is everything good that we can think of and more. Our world came from the Creator. The fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. God is love is written upon every bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds make the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green. All testify to the tender fatherly care of our God and his desire to make us happy. All good things come from God, for God is only good, and that's all that he can do. So sometimes if we feel hard things from God, we should pray for understanding. Even though answers sometimes seem slow in coming, even as we may be slow to be changed into what God needs us to be. The thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make this life one of toil and care, were appointed for our good as part of the training needful for God's plan for uplifting the ruin and degradation that sin has brought about. God is love, and being like him, we also have a need to receive, and then, naturally, to give love. Here in the United States, in 1944, an experiment was done using 40 healthy newborn babies. Their strictly physical needs were met by caregivers who carefully avoided any unnecessary eye contact or physical contact, and they did not otherwise communicate with them either. At 4 months, the experiment was cut short because at least half of the babies had died even though nothing was wrong with them. Babies, helpless little creatures of God, even as undeveloped little children of God, they knew what they needed. The word creature refers to something that is created by God. Little babies who are barely conscious of the world need love just like we do at any age. But sometimes in life, we may wrap ourselves around the things of this world, and as those things tend to do, we will find ourselves disappointed or despairing to the point of not seeing any reason to live. The world, who act as though there were no God, absorbed in selfish pursuits, will soon experience sudden destruction and shall not escape. Many continue in the careless gratification of self until they become so disgusted with life that they kill themselves. And I think sometimes that includes killing ourselves slowly by how we live. I imagine that this is what we see with celebrities or some other otherwise successful people who have built their lives around temporal things. Notice how the word temporal is similar to temporary. These words both come from the Latin word for time. But our God owns time, and the passing of time is as nothing to him. Our lives, however, are framed in time. We are finite. He is infinite. But what a tragedy that a child of God should be misled in what the purpose of life really is. Many of us are not living up to the purpose of our creation. God intended for us to be like him. We are to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. So God intended for us to be like him, to be fully developed in those attributes that make us human. None of us has met all of God's specifications. Only Christ followed all God's recommendations for a full and abundant life, living for others. Christ, who came to the earth in the form of man, is the perfect example of a human being. He is the type of person that God planned to populate the earth. The world we see around us, with its problems, is not what God intended. We have so many Satan-infected institutions and ways of doing things that we have fairly well lost our way. Christ is our example because he demonstrated how life may be lived in this present generation, and we may indeed be perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. If there was such a thing as a perfectly engineered automobile, we would imagine that there was only one way that all its parts could be put together in order for it to function properly. So there is just one way to fully regain our humanity, to fulfill the purpose for which we were intended. As we witness the perfection of Christ, we recognize that which we have been missing since the fall, and that is the restoration of our relationship with our Father, for we have it in our DNA that we are supposed to be like him. We consider it a matter of respect and honor to take care of ourselves individually and to take care of others as we would like to be treated, for none of us is better than another. And in this way we demonstrate that we are one in spirit with Christ. To choose any other way is to deny our humanity. And we remember that we are God's property, as it says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So it really is quite a privilege that we have, being made by God. It ties us to him more closely than with our relatives. So I just hope that when we do run into hard times, that we'll remember that we indeed have quite a connection. It's just for us to take advantage of. Shall we pray? Father, what can we say? We live in this world, but the reality that is much greater seems so far away sometimes, but we understand that we have difficulties, so that we might remember our origins and turn to you. Please be with us, Father, as we know that you always are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.